Amazing. Just scriptural truths that can't be compared. I'm reading a book called Robinson Crusoe. Heard of it? Yeah. Anybody read it? No. Oh, okay. We want a couple? Okay, yeah, it's been a while. Robinson Crusoe gets abandoned to this island, this deserted island. He's there for a while. Don't spoil it for me because I don't know the ending. But he's there for a while. He has no comforts whatsoever. He makes a little table and a chair for himself. He finds food and water to get. But for the most part, as you can imagine, on a deserted island, he's pretty uncomfortable. But what he says he finds his comfort in is the words of Scripture. Just like we would, right? This is where we go to find our comfort. So I thought that was interesting. As we sing the words of Scripture, this is where we also find our comfort. Let me pray, and then we're going to get started. Yeah, and we'll pray for Micah. Yeah, that's a good point. Father, we thank you for this time as we're humbled at your presence, at your feet, Lord. We come with cares and anxieties and worries and troubles from jobs and school and family and sickness and different things that cause us to be anxious. Lord, we cast them now at your feet. We take away all we ask that all distractions are taken away so that we can focus on you alone. And Lord, we especially pray right now for Micah that you would heal him. You would take away the sickness right now. And we ask without doubt that you can do it. We ask you alone because you are the only one that can do it. So Lord, we pray and we ask that you would take away the sickness from him and bring them home safely. May you be glorified. May your will be done in this situation, and even now as we look to your word. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, so we've been in this this series called I'm a Christian Now What. We're talking about, okay, I put my faith in Christ. Now what does it look like to live like a Christian? And I think that this series, this title, whatever you want to call it, is for everyone, is for the believer and the unbeliever alike. So I think we're at the last part of this series today. And I've titled this one, Living with Eternity in Our Minds. And that is just an awesome picture, isn't it? I love that picture. I want to see a sky like that one day. That would be cool in real life. So we started by talking, okay, you put your faith in Christ, you start a relationship with God, and that relationship is kind of like a flower, and it grows and it flourishes when we do what? How does a flower grow and flourish? Water it and sun, yeah. And what is water and sunlight in our relationship with God?
Nutrients.
Well, nutrients, yeah, but what are those things?
Food.
Huh?
Water.
Yeah. What did we say?
The word.
The word? Reading God's word, seeking to find him through what he's already said, okay? Number two, how else do we grow it?
Prayer.
Prayer, yeah, prayer. We pray. We directly communicate with God.
Fellowship.
Good, awesome. Yeah, in Bible study, yeah. Fellowshipping with like-minded believers that are pointing us to grow in this relationship. That's why we do this, right? That's why I love this church, because this is what this church is set up and ordained to do. This is what we do here. We point each other to Christ to deepen, to grow our relationship, to really get rooted if we're continuing with the flower, right? To get rooted in. So as these things happen, some changes start to take place. So our affections for sin start to change, and our desires and our affections start to go towards Christ and things of him. So the sin that once was so enticing now becomes not so great anymore. And this is a battle that we'll face till we die, this constant battle of sin against the things of the word. But in a sense, there becomes a new king in a new king of our heart and of our life, who is Christ. There becomes the heart can't be empty. It has to be ruled by something, right? In our humanness, our heart has to be captivated by something. It's either the thing, it's not so good, or it's Christ. And so when you expel this one, when you get rid of the old one, a new one has to take its place immediately. Okay, and we talked about how when we grow and we deepen our relationship with God, our affections start to change, and there becomes a new king of our heart. The old one only wanted ruin and destruction for us, and the new one only wants what's good and best for us. And because of these changes, it invokes or draws up within us a desire to tell others about Christ, to tell others about the person who's changing our life so drastically. We tell them with honesty. We talked about we tell them with honesty. We tell them with joy in our hearts, and we tell them with God's help, leaning on Him. And then alongside telling Him, we had another section where we talked about showing others. So alongside telling has to come showing. So we show others through our thoughts, our attitudes, our motivations, and our actions. So we imitate Jesus in all these areas to bring glory to God. So we don't only tell others, but we show others. And then we get to this last part today. And so I want you to imagine with me that your mind is like a swimming pool. And you have all these things that we've gone over, just swimming around in there, okay? Like a little fish or a frog or sometimes rats that get into the pool, right? And they swim around. So these things are swimming around in your swimming pool mind, and then living with eternity in your hearts, or I'm going to use the phrase living eternally minded, just dives off the diving board and does a cannonball right into the midst of your swimming pool, okay? This aspect of being a Christian is going to influence all the other ones, okay? And hopefully I have drawn a beautiful picture that I can't wait to show you guys that's going to show you how that works here in a second. So just imagine that you have a swimming pool. Living eternally minded does a cannonball right into the midst of all the other things that we've been learning, okay? This is a dynamic part of the Christian life. Okay, so I want to argue that doing all these things that we've been talking about, the changes that are taking place, living out God's word, living out the gospel, there is going to be a drawing to live in a way that puts things of eternity above things that are temporary. Okay? Things of eternity over things that are temporary. And this is going to be a weird concept for some of us, I think. But before we go anywhere, living with eternity in our minds means that we have to have a concept of what eternity means and what it looks like. And so we're going to go to a couple of scriptures here. For someone who has repented of their sin, believes in Jesus when they die, they go to be with God. They go to heaven. And as a theologian puts it, his name is Wayne Grudem, he says, heaven is the place where God most fully makes known his presence to bless. So heaven, in a sense, is God's presence. This is the best part of the Christian life. This is, Jesus dies on the cross to make a way for you to be with God. The end goal is that you get God. That's the end goal of the Christian life. You get to be in the presence of God. And I think I said this on Sunday. In our hearts and in our minds, there's this hole that can't be filled, and can only be filled by God, where we are continuously searching to know and see the Creator. Continuously, everybody is. And so that is the ultimate culmination of the Christian life, is that it ends with the presence of God. So Revelation 21:4 says, this is talking about this place. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. So what is this place going to look like? There's going to be no tears. There's going to be no death. There's going to be no sin, no mourning, no crying, no pain. Can you imagine? You wake up and nothing hurts on your body, right? Some of us older people, right? That is just, can't wait, right? I'm starting to feel it, by the way. They said that since I broke my leg, they said, you're going to know when it's going to rain or when it's going to snow. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, that doesn't even make any sense. And then all of a sudden, the first time that it was going to rain afterwards, I started to feel pain in my side of my leg. I was like, they were right. So no more pain, no more crying, no more mourning, no more sin. Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, this is God's presence, there is a fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In God's presence, there's a fullness of joy. We have no concept of that right now. We do not know what it looks like to have a fullness of joy. It doesn't even matter if you think the cup is half full. If you're that positive thinking, we don't know what it's like to have a fullness of joy this side of heaven. Only in the presence of God is that possible. And at his right hand are pleasures for all eternity. So knowing what this is going to be like causes us to long for this. And I think that if that's foundational to our lives, if longing for heaven and longing to be with God is foundational in our lives, that's going to change the way we live down here on earth. I think. I'm going to argue that. And we know this is for eternity. This is what it says. This is just one of the verses. It says it all over Scripture, but here's one verse. It says, John 5:24, it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you," this is Jesus, "whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life." This is forever. Eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but it's passed from death to life. So, honestly, I could probably sit here, and this is like just barely even scratching the surface. I could sit here and talk about the complexities of heaven forever, and we would never cover even the half of it. No one knows exactly what it's going to be like or what it's going to look like, and I have a feeling that one day when we get there, we'll probably spend the rest of eternity looking into new things every single day, right? I think a guy by the name of R.C. Sproul, he says, "I just want to go up there, and I want to study for the first 15,000 years, I want to study music. For the second 15,000 years, I want to study art. And for the next 15,000, and, you know, it's just this, we're going to be learning and knowing, and it's going to be amazing for all eternity." So knowing what we know about Jesus and what he has done for us and what he has called us to do changes the way that we live our day-to-day lives here on earth. We no longer see earth as a final destination or the end. Earth is not an end. And frankly, heaven is not an end either, because God says he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. So if you can say earth is just is not my home, I'm just passing through, you can technically say that about heaven too, because God says he's going to make a new heavens and a new earth. And I don't know what that's going to look like, but it's going to be better. Anyway, so the earth is our life here on earth is not the final destination, it is not the end, this is not our home. In a sense, we have this amazing knowledge of knowing the future. In a sense, we know what the future holds. We're told by the creator of the universe what's going to happen at the end. He says that he has declared the end from the beginning. So he has the plan in mind from eternity past to what's going to happen for all eternity future. So this changes our life from YOLO, you remember that phrase? YOLO, you only live once. And we change it to YOLT, if I can even say that. You only live twice. The second one is forever, okay? So right now, we understand, we know that something here on earth is not right. We know it's broken. We've known this for a long time. Everyone knows this. So we long for this. And here's a verse that tells us about that. I'm going to read it. That's small. Romans 8, 22 through 25 says, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we have hope we do not see, we wait for it with patience." We are longing, groaning, crying out for the day that things are made right, for when the adoption process is over and we get to go home. That is when it excites most in the child's heart when they get adopted. Not when the judge slams the gavel, but when they go home. That's when it's best. So we're groaning, we're longing for that day. And that longing, that inward desire, is changing the way that we live now. So, since we know the future, since we know the end, since we know what's going to happen, it causes us to live with eternity in our minds, to live eternally minded. So think about a video game. You have a video game, you have a boss fight. Okay, a boss fight is when you fight the one of the biggest or best characters in the game. You have to fight it. Now, in our culture today, if you don't know how to beat the boss, how do you figure out how to beat the boss, Beach? If you don't know how to beat it on your own, where do you go to look up the answer? Yeah, and what specifically? Yeah, YouTube. You're going to go to YouTube. You're going to say, "How do I defeat this person?" Okay, if you're in a video game. And When you look that up and you know how to beat that character in the video game, it changes the way that you go about playing the video game, right? You know how it's supposed to end and you know how to beat them now, so you're going to change the way you live or work in that video game. So here's the cool thing about this concept. Even though it's the last thing we're talking about, it actually fuels the other things, and here is the picture. Maybe. There it is. I drew this myself. Okay, so we have faith in Christ, okay, saved, communion with God, that was the first thing we talked about, water, sunlight, there's a little flower in the middle of that. We go, follow the arrow, change of affections, the flower is growing, right, because of communion with God, and that black thing up there is a pair of scissors, and we're pruning, right, that's a term you use, right, Tina? Yeah, prune, okay. Prune, you're changing your affections, you're changing your desires for sin, they're becoming desires for Christ. Some work is going on there, there's a change. That's swinging down, telling and showing others, a beautiful flower. That looks to me like a tulip. I'm the creator of that design, and I'm saying that I think that's a tulip, okay? So, it's showing off, it's you can see it, it's visible, you're telling, you're showing others about Christ. And then we swing up to the last one. And now this one's a stretch, but just hold with me. Living eternally minded is putting yourself in the place to make these things happen. So, if you can see, that is a window. And the flower is now on the windowsill. And why would you put a flower on a windowsill? Okay? And then what do you think is below that windowsill right there?
Water.
A sink. And what's beside the sink? A cup. And what do you do with a cup? Yes. So you put yourself in a place, in a mindset, in a lifestyle where you can do all these things. And you have a plan to go about it. And you are putting yourself in a place, in a mindset where these things are happening, where you're communing with God, where you're changing your affection, where you're telling and showing others. You're living differently. This is fueling. Knowing the end is fueling the way all these other things happen. And so that they happen. What's that? It's already complete, but... Oh, manure!
Which for us would be life's problems.
Yeah.
You know, we grow the most in deep and difficult circumstances.
That's huge, yeah.
We're going through its sunlight, its water, its God's word, it's also persevering in the face of adversity.
Yeah, I like that a lot, actually. I don't have my pen with me, but if I did, I'd draw a cow right there in the middle. Okay? Yeah, or sorry. I don't know anything about that. But anyway, we'll draw a horse in there. Just imagine for a second. That's good, though. Thank you, Sarah. Now that we have the picture, that brings us to our text tonight. This is Colossians 3. If you have a Bible, you can open up to Colossians 3. If not, all the verses will be up on the screen. So, in Colossians 3, this is where I'm going to argue that we are commanded to think and live eternally minded, okay? Here it is, Colossians 3, 1 through 2, this is what it says. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Well, why would we do that? Where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. We are told to put our minds on things that are above. And I know this is talking about things of eternity and things of heaven because this is where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. It's my indicator, right? So that means that we take our thoughts and place them on heavenly things. So you're probably wondering, well, what does that exactly mean? And I think it explains it as we walk down. So take your eyes and draw them down to verse 12. This one's going to be small on the screen, so... Verse 12 starts this list of heavenly things. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So, One of the greatest things that this mindset does, this lifestyle does, is it shifts our eyes and our hearts off of things that are temporary and puts it onto things that last for all eternity. So no longer are we focused on things that don't matter. How many times do I have to correct myself during the week? I'm talking about myself here. How many times do I have to correct myself and say, that is not going to matter? Sophia loves to remind me. Every time I get stressed out about something, she says the same thing every single time. She says, you will forget about it in a week. And every time, since my memory is amazing, I forget about it in a week, all right? It's not amazing. She says, you'll forget about it in a week. How many times do I have to shift my eyes off of things that ultimately don't matter? I'm chasing after something that is not going to get me anywhere, right? We hear the saying, and it happens most with money and possessions, you can't take those things with you, right? That's what everybody says. Why are you chasing after all that money? You can't take it with you, right? Everybody says that. Ultimately, we are putting our eyes on things that don't matter, and God is calling us to live eternally minded, where things that we're thinking about are things that are going to matter for all eternity, like some of these here. And then in verse 5, so if you shift your eyes back up, you're going to see a list of things that don't matter that we often chase. Verse 5 says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly. Here's what's earthly: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So there is a list of things that are earthly, temporary. We know that in Revelation 21:4, which we read earlier, there's not going to be any more pain, there's not going to be any more crying, no more mourning, no more sin, none of these things, which means all of these things right here in this list are temporary things, all of them. Every single one. These will be no more when we leave this earth, which is a good thing. So if I can speak to you for a moment and myself, the more I read the Word of God, the more I follow Jesus, I see how worthless it is to pursue earthly things. I was involved in a ministry called Young Life, which is like an outreach to high school students. And one of my Young Life leaders would always say, everything in this earth is going to rust, spoil, or fade. Everything. All of our possessions. Rust, spoil, fade. Something. Right? Milk doesn't take long. A truck might take a little bit longer to finally rust. Right? But these things will eventually go away. They're not going to matter. Yeah.
That's now in a junkyard.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Sad.
It helps to keep that in perspective.
Yeah. It's very sad to think about things like that. That's why it's so important to live eternally minded. I think that there's always going to be greater and better things here on earth. So, like, there's always going to be another iPhone. There's always going to be a newer model of something. But there's never going to be greatest and best, I don't think, ever. There's nothing that satisfies more than Christ. In every avenue of life, He is greatest. He is best. He is number one. There's nothing better. So if we're going to live eternally minded, then we have to shift our eyes and our focuses and our mindsets and our lifestyles and our attitudes and our hearts. Everything about us needs to shift from things that are temporary to things that are eternal. We shift our eyes to things that are above. We seek what is above. Why do we do that? Because that's where Christ is. It says that in verse 1. The more we focus on Christ and our relationship with God, the more we will live with heaven in our hearts and in our minds. They're sort of in union together. They don't separate from one another. So just to give some practical little examples, when this becomes a thing in our life, when our lives are characterized by characteristics like humility and meekness, and compassionate hearts, and kindness, and all these different things, when our lives are characterized like that, and we're not so focused on being greedy and sexually immoral and passionate about the wrong things and having evil desires, when those things are switched, then I think that conversations with people that we have on a daily basis turn to heavenly things way quicker. I think that we are more urgent to tell and show others about Christ. We're unconcerned with popularity status, how many followers we have on a certain social media, and we're more concerned about glorifying God with our lives and showing Him through these actions, being compassionate to others around us, taking time to serve others above ourselves, being humble, being patient, being kind. When we live this way, the music that we listen to, the videos we watch, the activities we partake in will start to slowly change. Where our money goes, where our time goes, where our efforts, where our energies go, will shift to things that will matter for all eternity. So instead of sports and extracurricular activities being our life, they will become a part of our life. Okay? When careers and hobbies, instead of them encapsulating everything about us, there'll be a small section of what we do. And our focus will shift. The way we read the Word, we'll get in the Word more, we'll pray more, we'll fellowship, we'll be involved in the church more. All these different things, the living eternally minded will fuel all of these different things. Our lives, our motivations, our hearts, our actions, our thoughts, everything changes. Everything transforms. The way we feel about things is influenced by eternity. The reason why we do things is influenced by heaven and the implications that we find there. There's a story about two different people, two groups of different people. There's these elderly ladies that were doctors all their life in America, and they go to Cambodia to be doctors and share the gospel with people over there. This is a famous story from a pastor. And then there's another section of people who spent their life trying to get as much popularity, much status, as much money, as much possessions as they could, making sure that they have a very comfortable 3 homes to retire to, all these different things, chasing after wrong things. And he asks a simple question, and then, so what happens is these people live out their lives. This group of doctors in Cambodia eventually dies tragically in a car accident. And then these people live on to, I guess, die, but not as tragically. And he asks the question, he's like, which one of these is a tragedy? Which one of these is a tragedy? And everybody thinks, oh, it's got to be, you know, these missionaries that died in the car accident, right? It's got to be them. And he says, no. It's this other section of people. They spent their life chasing after things that don't matter, to waste it on things that they can't take with them. And you have these other people who spent every ounce of their being saving lives in one way or another, right? By either sharing the gospel with others or giving medical attention to people that couldn't afford it. And he says, that's not a tragedy. This is a tragedy. So when we live with eternity in our minds and our hearts, it changes the way we look at life and how we live our lives pretty drastically, or at least it should. And I have to keep reminding myself every day. I have a poster in my office that is just a skeleton, and it has the verse Psalm something. Teach me to number my days, Lord, is what it says. Reminding myself every time I look over at that, I'm going to die, probably very soon, you know, somewhere around, you get, what, 70, 80 years here? Something like that. And I need to live with eternity in my heart so that it changes the way I live every day on this earth. If we're a Christian here tonight, we are a part of something greater. You belong to the kingdom of God, and one day, that which what we believe will become what we see. And it will be so much more glorious than anything we could ever imagine. So we need to live this way now. Baker Heights Baptist Church needs to live this way. When people come in here, there needs to be a different like aroma to this place. Like they walk in and they're like, something smells weird. Like these people are weird. Like why are they constantly telling me about Jesus? Why are they constantly loving me? Why are they wanting me to come over to their house all the time to eat dinner? Why are they opening the door, waiting there for 20 seconds? No one waits that long to open the door, right? All these different things is going to be just different about this place. We live with eternity in our hearts and in our minds. Here's what we're going to do now. There's 20 minutes left. I'm going to split us up into groups. I'm going to stay in here. Andrew's going to lead the guys, and Regina and Candace are going to lead the girls. I don't know where Candace is, but okay, yeah. Regina's going to lead the girls. Teen girls and teen guys are going to go with Andrew, and everybody else is going to stand here. And we're going to talk about some of these questions. I want to get some feedback. I want to see what we're thinking here. The first one is, if you, Andrew and Regina, if you want to take a Bible or your Bible app with you, we're going to read Colossians 3, 1 through 15. We're going to ask ourselves, what specifically in our life is keeping us from living eternally minded, and how exactly can we seek things that are above in our lives right now? All right, go. And I am turning this off. I don't know if that, we're not live streaming, so I guess it doesn't matter. Okay.